In Jeremiah chapter 17, Jeremiah chapter 17, I invite you to turn here, if you have your Bible, turn here to Jeremiah chapter 17, and we're going to start here in verse number 5, Jeremiah 17, verse 5, and stay with me. There's a lot of scriptures in this message. I'll read some of them to you and encourage you to turn to some of them, but let's read here. What our Lord says, and let's see this contrast in this passage, and from here we'll go on to others and other thoughts related to the subject. In Jeremiah 17, verse number 5, the scripture says, "Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man." Okay? "Cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord." Okay, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and let's go ahead and take and bring this down as close as we can, self. Okay, yes, another man, another woman, but let's bring that down here to self. Okay, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh, self, his arm, whose heart departeth from the Lord. Okay, heart, our emotions, that inward part of us that makes us us. As John speaks about in his epistles, the lust of the flesh and lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That which is us, that which is of the world, that which is of this flesh. Verse 6, "For he shall be like the heath in the desert," as is a type of animal, "and shall not see when good cometh," the one that trusteth in self, "but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land and not inhabited." It'll be pretty bleak when you trust in man's way and self. "Blessed," the Lord says, "is the man," verse 7, "that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope," And whose hope the Lord is. Okay, so now we've got something to direct our faith towards rather than self, but the Lord outside of us, and of course, living within us, we who are saved. And this one will be blessed indeed, will be touched by God, and will have the joy of the Lord within them. "Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters," listen to this, "and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh." Now, heat's going to come. Fiery darts and trials are going to come. But they're trusting in the Lord. Their hope is in the Lord, not in self. "And shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought." Careful. So I got to back off. I got to watch from, you know, hearing the Lord and obeying the Lord. This is getting pretty tight. This is getting pretty tough. No. "Shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit when it gets droughtful or doubtful." Okay? "The heart is deceitful above all things." Well, you know, this is a hallmark passage. We need to see what's related to these passages. To know the passage and the content of the passage is a great and wonderful thing. But I find it often very interesting, well, not often, but always very interesting, where these hallmark passages like this is in verse number 9, what's it connected to? What's it connected to? What's around it? What's the context? "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" That's the heart within you and me. And the Lord's just made a contrast between the man that trusteth in himself, or man, and the one that trusteth in the Lord. A great contrast is there. And the warning is given, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, and even to give every man according to his ways, and according to the fruit of his doings." Okay, so there's a warning there. And the Lord knows inside. He knows motive. He knows what's going on in the heart, doesn't he? And then he goes on and gives another example. "As the partridge sitteth on eggs and hatcheth them not, So he that getteth riches and not by right shall leave them in the midst of his days, and at his end shall be a fool. Again, another way we trust in self and the things of this world. And then we come to Matthew chapter 15 and the day of the ministry of our Lord Jesus and things that he says here. We don't have the time to read all of this, but we'll skip down through this account here. The scribes and the Pharisees come to Jesus. They ask him, why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? They're not washing their hands before they eat. It's good to wash your hands, but it has no spiritual effect. Okay? And you know what? That kind of, you know, we're to be good stewards of what we have, and we should do well and be organized and take care of things and all that. But the Lord says here, if you eat with dirty hands, it's not a spiritual impact. You know, we need to be careful what we think is a spiritual virtue that may not be. We need to watch that because we can become conceited and self-righteous and things. We need to do well. I'm not advocating being dirty. Take a shower before you come to services. Do so. Okay, all will be blessed. Amen. Okay, but we need to watch about what we think is honorable for the Lord and not. But he answered and said unto them, why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? And so he speaks about tradition. We need to watch tradition. We need to watch superstition. We need to watch those things. He talks about their lack of care for parents, not honoring them. Isaiah's prophecy, they talk. Verse 8 and 9 is cheap, but the heart is far from the Lord. Teaching the commandments of men rather than the word of God. And he says to him in verse 10, hear and understand. And he speaks now to the multitude. And he tells them, said, what comes out of your mouth? What goes in your mouth doesn't defile you. But what comes out of your mouth, that is that by which a man is defiled. And he talks about plants planted and that the Father hasn't planted, and blind leaders of the blind. And Peter asks, tell us about the parable. And the Lord kind of chides them there and about understanding. And then we come down here to verse number 19, or verse 18, verse 19. For out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. Now, understand that the Lord is speaking this even to his disciples. The Pharisees and the scribes, come to him. They have this question, and then the Lord deals with them, and then he speaks to the multitude, and then he deals with the disciples. Okay? And he speaks these things to the disciples, at least. Peter says, declare unto us this parable, verse 15. And so then the Lord tells Peter and the other brethren, and then maybe those that are around there yet in his hearing are those of the multitude in verse number 10, and says, what comes out of your natural heart is what defiles you. And he lists the fruit of the flesh here, doesn't he? The works of the flesh, doesn't he? I mean, it's pretty parallel to Galatians chapter 5, isn't it? And so the message tonight, feeling or faith. Watch what you feel and how you trust your feelings. And I know we can be picky about that, but I tell you what, the Word of God backs up the truth that we don't need to feel our way through life. We don't need to feel our way through life walking with our Lord, but we need to hear our Lord and what He says and believe and apply what He says. So watch your feelings. Watch my feelings. You know, before salvation comes, we are in no shape to think our emotions or our feelings will lead us to the truth. It just won't do it, will it? In Acts chapter 26, verse 18, the apostle's preaching there, and he says to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. The Lord, he telling there about what the Lord Jesus Christ preached. And we say here, the Lord and the message of the Lord is not feel like you're saved, but repent of your sins and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ unto salvation. In 2 Corinthians 4:4, speaking about those not saved, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. They're in bad shape. Before we're saved, we're in terrible, terrible shape. This old natural man is dead, isn't he? He's dead. In chapter 11 of 2 Corinthians, it tells there, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Without spiritual discernment and understanding, we can think some spectacular things are just wonderful and great because they make us feel good, because it appeals to the eyes, because it appeals to the flesh. Satan... it can himself is transformed into an angel of light. He looks good. Why? And why does he look good? Because without salvation in the Spirit of the Lord living within, there's no discernment. There's no discernment about anything wicked. Everything looks good. In Ephesians 2:2, you're familiar with this, speaking about how it was before we were saved, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. We walked by what we could see and how we felt and what made us feel good in that. Again, before salvation comes, a person is in no shape to think that our emotions or our feelings will lead us to any kind of truth. If a child is taught a good thing, well, what defines it as good? Well, what the Lord says is good. And good morals, if you will, where do they stem from? Well, anything good stems from the Word of God, doesn't it? It does. And there are some things that are put in us naturally. But to follow self and to follow the flesh and to follow the way of this world, it just isn't going to work. It just isn't going to fly. There's going to be no finding of God. There'll be no finding of the truth without the good Word of God. And so when the good Word of God comes to us, what's the Word of God always say? What's the Lord always say? Believe what I say. Hear me. And the thing is the thing that the Lord says and what he beckons to be heard is going to be contrary to everything that's of this flesh and this world. The one that's without Christ is in a terrible shape, it says in 2 Timothy 2:26. It says, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. This one that can transform himself into the angel of light, can make an appeal to the flesh, appeal to the emotion, appeal to the feelings of the flesh, and just take one away. One away. And so before salvation, indeed, we are in no shape to think our emotions or feelings will lead us to the truth. Now, after we're saved, is this old flesh reformed? Is this old mind changed? Is there anything about us naturally that is modified or made different? Well, see, if we really understand the Scriptures and what the Scripture says, salvation comes along by the addition of something or someone, doesn't it? So now, if what we had before we were saved can't be trusted, and there's none of that that is changed, okay, altered, or the Scripture speaks about the soul being saved, rescued, if none of that has changed, but rather salvation is such by something being added or the someone being added, the Spirit of God within, can we still trust all that stuff that we started out with? No, we can't. We can't trust self. We still can't trust self. Because the old man's just as wicked and perverse and diabolical against God. The feelings of the flesh are contrary to the Lord and that. But it's the Spirit of God within that we can certainly listen to and hear it. And again, the Word of God is at hand and used by the Lord. The range of emotion of which we are capable, we can be fooled by our emotions indeed, what we feel. Matthew 14, take a look over here. These men are saved, aren't they? These men are saved, right? Hadn't our Lord called them? Well, except for one, he's not saved, and that's the Lord's business. Anyway, it says here in Matthew 14, he constrained his disciples to get in the ship, verse 22. Sent the multitudes away. The ship was in the midst of the sea, verse 24. Fourth watch, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, verse 26, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out for fear. Now, have they been called by the Lord? Is the Lord going to leave them and forsake them? Are they experienced on the water? Are they in the Lord's hand? But straightway Jesus spake unto them, said, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." Now, he says, be not afraid, right? Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come to thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And so Peter wanted it, didn't he? And Peter got it, didn't he? And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. He wanted it. He got it, right? He asked for it. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. Now, had Jesus moved? Had Jesus changed? Had Jesus reneged on what he had told Peter to do? Come. But what happened? Peter started looking around, didn't he? He was afraid. Did he need to be afraid? I'm not saying that I wouldn't have been afraid. But did he need to be afraid? The Lord was there. The Lord sent him in the ship. The Lord said, "Come." And what did Peter start doing? He started looking at self. He started looking at the circumstances. And here he's afraid. He has this emotion of fear. And he saw the wind boisterous. He was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And did the Lord do so? Yeah, because he's his child. Right? Right? And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and saith unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" So we need to learn from this, don't we? We certainly can't trust our emotions. We need to trust our Lord. Our Lord said, "O thou of little faith in me." Because that's what it is. Faith in me. Not faith in self or the boat, but faith in me. "O thou of little faith in me, wherefore didst thou doubt?" Peter, there was nothing to doubt about. Nothing to doubt about. And so we need to know that. Lord, help us to get that. What's it say in John 20:19? "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled, for fear of the Jews." And they were afraid. But what did the Lord tell them? "I'm going to be rejected of the elders, given over to the hands of the Gentiles, crucified, and then raised the third day." How many times has he told them? That'd be a good study just to go flush that out of the Gospels. He told them and told them and told them and told them and told them. He told them things in advance. He said, "You're going to be offended tonight because of me." And then there they went. They were afraid. And then they're there for fear of the Jews, and Jesus stood in the midst, praise God, and said unto them, "Peace be unto you." And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then there were disciples glad when they saw the Lord. And we need to be glad in our Lord indeed. You know, salvation may bring emotion, mightn't it? Yeah, we are emotional creatures. It's not disputing that we are not emotional creatures. We may have emotion. We will have things and reactions and stuff, but it always needs to be tempered by what our Lord tells us. We may be afraid within, but we need, may the Lord help us so we have courage in Him to go ahead and face whatever it is that we have. To not, when in danger or in doubt, run in circles, scream and shout. No, we need to look to our Lord. We need to look to our Lord. That's what we're called to do. Is the Lord at hand? Is not the Lord living within? Has not the Lord given us His Word? Does He not know the beginning from the end? Does He not know everything that we're facing? Can it not be that some of the things that we're facing have been designed by Him that we might be tried by Him? Could be. Can it be that the Lord has pulled His hand from us that we might be tempted, that we might resist it for His honor and His glory and His praise? We just don't know. But we do know that we need to look to Him in everything and rest in Him. Know that He's at hand. When He says, "Peace be still," that He says so to us. Salvation may bring emotion. One person smiles real big. Another person cries. Another person, they don't do anything. Well, it doesn't mean that one's more saved than the other or one's saved less than the other. But when the Lord, when they see and they hear that the Lord says to them in particular, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Salvation is not based on whether we cry, whether we weep or whether we rejoice. There certainly is something to rejoice in when the Lord saves you, when the Lord has saved us. It says in Acts 8:8 that there was great joy in that city where Brother Philip preached. Yeah, and so there is rejoicing. We might show it different. And so what the flesh does, it isn't an indicator of what's going on inside, is it? Because we do have emotion, but emotion is not salvation. When we get down to this message, feeling or faith. You know, when you take a look at this, any form of the word feel, it's a real short list that's in the Scripture. In the Old Testament and New Testament combined, any form of the word feel only happens 14 times. 14 occurrences. And most of them have to do with physical things. Jacob said it to his mother, "My dad's going to feel me and he's going to know that I'm not Esau." Okay? That's three of them. Okay? Yeah, that's three of the occurrences. One of the plagues in Exodus, as the Lord tells Moses to deal with Egypt, and He says here in Exodus 10:21, "And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt." I don't think I've ever seen it that dark, even down in the bottom of Mammoth Cave when they turned off the light. That's dark, but I couldn't feel it. This darkness was oppressing upon, and that's just talking about the sensory things, isn't it? Samson said unto the young man that led him, the lad that led him around, said, "Let me feel the pillars that this house of Dagon," right? I believe that's what it was, of the Philistines. Let me feel that. So he's talking about touching with his hands. In Job, it speaks about one that shall not feel quietness in his belly. He shall not save of that which he desired. There is a feeling of the operation of this flesh. My belly hurts. Okay, but that's not what we're talking about. But that's all the Scriptures talking about. In Judgment, in Psalms, the Lord says about this, "Before your pots can feel the thorns, he shall take them away as with a whirlwind, both living and in his wrath." It's speaking there metaphorically, I believe, about the provision in that. The drunkard in Proverbs 23, he says, "They have stricken me, shalt thou say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not." Why? Because he's numb. So it's physical feeling. "When shall I awake? I will seek it yet again." In Ecclesiastes, it does speak about this. In Ecclesiastes 8:5, whoso keepeth the commandment shall feel no evil thing. So that's talking about experience, isn't it? It's not talking about sensory. It's talking about experience. And a wise man's heart discerneth both time and judgment. Then we come to the New Testament. When you come to the New Testament, there's five occurrences. And in Mark, speaks about the woman with the issue of blood. She felt in her body that she was healed. In Acts 17:27, Paul preaching there, I believe, on Mars Hill about the unknown God, preaching to those that are there in Athens, and he says that they should seek the Lord if haply they might feel after him, or that of seeking, not physically touching the Lord. Seek the Lord and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. And sinner, if you're here without Christ, the Lord's at hand. Repent of your sins and trust in Christ. Paul was bit by the snake, wasn't he, when they were shipwrecked and the beast, they shook off the beast in the fire and felt no harm. He was not made ill by it. In Ephesians, it speaks about our condition, who being past feelings, in Ephesians 4:19, have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness and greediness. Past feeling, it's speaking about not convicted or condemned by righteousness or the pursuit of unrighteousness. And then in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, for we and I have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Our Lord Jesus has gone through everything that you and I experience. He gets it. But was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And so we do are ill. We are tempted. We are tried. We are tested. And if there's any of them that speaks to about the loading of the soul or that of what we experience, that's the closest one that I see there. And so, not from the standpoint of something to follow after or inward guidance, but when you're loaded down with care, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. The Lord knows about labor. The Lord knows about being heavy laden. See? He gets it. Our Lord in every whit can sympathize. He understands that. But not a one passage does it talk about us following our feelings. Not one. Not one. And if it can be found, I want to know it. Okay? But not one. And I've read to you all of them. Okay? But the Lord calls and bids the saved to operate contrary to our feelings. Contrary. Remember, the feelings are the feelings of this flesh, the emotion of this flesh, and the things that we... And our Lord calls us, He bids us to operate contrary to our feelings, to operate yet by faith. In Luke chapter 6, I invite you to turn over here to this and read this. Look at this. This is what our Lord says. He says this to us, and He means this. He said in the day of His ministry. I mean, all the Word of God is the Lord's, but those words that come from His lips in the day of His ministry, when He came as a man, I mean, if we don't believe anything, we certainly ought to believe what our Lord said Himself as He walked here as a man. And we can believe it all. But in Luke chapter 6, verse number 22, blessed are ye when men shall hate you. I don't want to be hated. It makes me feel bad. See? It makes me sad. It makes me embarrassed. It makes me, it just makes me feel rotten. But our Lord says, blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company. Who likes to be left out? Oh, I want to be left out. Leave me out. Who wants to be left out? Nobody wants to be left out. Nobody wants to be shunned. Nobody wants to be run down. Nobody wants to be made a spectacle of. Nobody wants that. Who wants that? Why? It doesn't feel good. But our Lord says, when we are for His sake, we're blessed. Listen to what He says. I mean, read it. Luke 6:22. Get your Bible. If you can read, pull it out there and look at it. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you. This is not rhetoric. This is what the Lord Jesus says. When they shall separate you from their company and shall reproach you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Now there is a qualifier. Not for my sake or for the sake of an earthly cause, but for His sake. For His sake. But all those things that happen there make me feel bad, make me sad, make me nervous, make me troubled. But the Lord says, rejoice ye in that day. Tell you what, we're going to have to take feelings and we're going to have to set them aside. We're going to have to take feelings and set them aside and look to our Lord Jesus. And consider the way that He is. We'll have to take all that, that's this old flesh, remember all that from which we are saved, yet the old man still possesses. We'll have to take that junk, and we'll have to lay that aside, and what are we going to have to do? We're going to have to believe what our Lord Jesus says, that it really, really is true. That it really is true. You know what's going to have to happen to us? For us to take that up and really know that that's true? We're going to have to believe Him. We're going to have to believe Him that He really knows what He's talking about. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil for the man's sake. Rejoice ye in that day, and leap for joy. I can leap about like Matthew can leap now. Matthew's learning to jump. I can't jump. That hurts to jump. But the Lord says, leap for joy. When's the last time you leapt for joy? I probably shouldn't leap for joy anymore up here. We want to keep the podium together. But that's what our Lord Jesus, did He mean it, or is it just some good words to say that are apropos for the time and makes good poetry? Our Lord means it. And you know, but you know what I'm going to have to do? I'm going to have to take all that rotten, lousy way that I can feel. I'm going to have to take all that thing of where I want to fit with the world and I want to be liked by the world and all that stuff, that my flesh and my mind and all that, all my feelings, I'm going to take them and lay them aside for something better, which is faith in what the Lord says. Faith in Him. Lord, You know how I feel. And You know that I don't like how I feel, but Lord, help me to trust You that what You say is true. Leap for joy. Rejoice ye in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven, for in the like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. James 1:2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Why? It's an opportunity for the Lord to show His power. It's an opportunity for our Lord to be honored. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Lord, You know what's at hand. Help me to be representative of You. Help me to follow what You say. Help me, Lord, to have the attitude about it all that You want me to have. Now listen, this is not pie in the sky. This is what our Lord gives us. In Acts 5:41, our brethren there, the apostles, and they departed from the presence of the council. And the council, Acts 5:41, the council had said, you quit preaching in His name. Stop it, stop it, stop it. Quit preaching in His name. No more preaching in Jesus' name. We're sick and tired of that. Jesus of Nazareth, it's done, over with. Quit it, stop it, or we're going to do something to you. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were worthy, counted worthy to suffer shame for His name. Who wants to sign up for shame? Who wants shame? Shame's an emotion. Who wants to sign up for shame? Nobody wants to sign up to be shamed. Nobody wants to. But our brethren rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for the Lord. They rejoiced. Like they remember how it was with Jesus when he hung on the cross. They remembered that. They weren't that far from that. And you know what? They did the same thing to Jesus. You know what? And now they're doing it to us. Praise God. Going to take them feelings. Going to have to take that emotion. Going to have to take all that of the flesh. Going to have to lay that aside with the help of the Lord. And we're going to have to believe what he said. What he says. The Lord bids the saved to operate contrary to our feelings. Emotion and feelings are not salvation. It's not salvation. Salvation comes by faith and the Word. Right? Faith in Romans 10:17. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. No feelings involved. Faith in the Lord. Now, when there's salvation, we might have emotion, but it's not by feelings. It's not by feelings. In Luke chapter 8, verse 15, but that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having been given by the Lord, right, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. What about the other two? See, the first, Satan comes along, steals away the word, doesn't he? The other two, they've got persecution of the word. Can't handle that. I'm out of here. Hurts too much. Gone. Cares of life choke. Well, I want this of life. I want this of life. I want to bring this of life to me. I want this stuff. I want to do that. I want to do this. And this thing of Jesus gets in the way of that. And see, the words choke, didn't it? Because what? They want to be happy with the stuff of life. They want to enjoy the stuff of life. You know what? There's not anything wrong with enjoying the stuff of life unless we put it between us and our Lord. The apostle wrote, or it's written about the apostle, and as he's there, taken captive in Jerusalem and then brought down to Caesarea, he tells or to the brethren on the way to Jerusalem. In Acts chapter 20, verse 21, he's testifying both the Jews and the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he preached. And then he, later on in that chapter, as he's there in Caesarea, after certain days when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning feeling real good in Jesus. No, faith in Christ. Faith in Christ. Doesn't have anything to do with the flesh, does it? Doesn't have anything to do with the flesh. 2 Corinthians 5:7. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. What's it say right here? Real simple verse. Fine one to memorize. Easy to memorize. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Right? Peter had a spell there. He started walking by sight, didn't he? And then by walking by the sight, how that all made him feel. But our Lord's at hand. We need to be walking by faith in Him. As we consider this in the Scriptures my notes go beyond the time that we have. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, the Scripture says, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? We didn't trust anything in the flesh to be saved. But we trusted our Lord Jesus, didn't we? And God, it tells us in Hebrews 11, is only pleased by faith. That it might be, as we've seen in Romans, that it might be of grace. That's what the Lord says. That we rest in Him in everything. He's the one that saves us. He's the one that keeps us. He's the one that makes good all of His promises. He's the one that takes us on to be with Him. Doesn't have a thing to do with how this flesh feels. Because if we follow after the way this flesh feels, we'll be deceived. Because remember, The man that trusteth in flesh is cursed. But the man in whose hope is in the Lord is a blessed man indeed, isn't he? Because the heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? That's talking about the old man in the old way. In Galatians 2:16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus, his faithfulness, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. He goes on to say in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. He said, this man is dead to self. I'm dead to the way of the world. I'm dead to the old way of operating. But I'm alive with Christ. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Is that feelings and emotion of this flesh that we trust in, that we follow? Or do we follow our Lord? And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by my feelings. No, by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's how he said he lived. And indeed, our Lord gives to us to live that way too. Faith or feeling? May we live by faith. You know, if you take a look in the scriptures, the word believe, or forms any form of the word believe, is found 287 times in the Bible. And you know what? 244, 287, and 244 are found in the New Testament. 14 times about feelings, and most of those having to do with sensory or finding. But 287 references in the Scripture about belief. And then when we come and we take a look at the word trust, we hear another 188 references about trust in the Bible. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, Proverbs 3:5 says, and lean not to thine own understanding. That tells it, doesn't it? Faith in the Lord, to not allow our feelings to come into our action and our walk. Because we don't live by our feelings. We live truly by our faith in our Lord. So what should cause us, what should be the guidance of our walk in the rest of the time that we have? What we feel or what we believe? It's what we believe, isn't it? What we believe. There's a couple occasions where our brethren, as the Lord was dealing with them, they heard the preaching there on Pentecost in Acts chapter 2:37. It says, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? They didn't say, feel the power. He said, repent and believe, didn't he? See, they were directed to faith in the Lord Jesus. The Ethiopian eunuch, he asked, what must I do to be here's water, what doth Henry be baptized? Philip said, if you have the warm fuzzy feeling. No, he didn't say that, did he? If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The Philippian jailer, and they said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. Believing. We want to close here with this two verses. Ephesians 3:14. Now, two verses and we'll close. Ephesians 3:14. The apostle writes to the church at Ephesus, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Not feelings, but the Spirit. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. That's his desire for the saints at Ephesus. And that's what we need. That ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the height, the depth and height, the four-dimensional greatness of God, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. That ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now that's the prayer of the apostle and the desire of the apostle for the saints at Ephesus. And I dare say for all the saints that he ever ministered to and sinners that he witnessed to, that he desired they'd be saved and they'd be filled with that. He doesn't talk a thing about following after what this flesh will do to us, does he? But it's all being filled with the fullness of God, the Spirit, Christ dwelling within us. And then we close with Romans chapter 15. Feeling or faith? How is it with you? How is it with me? Feeling or faith? May our Lord help us. We read here in closing in Romans chapter 15, verse number 13. Much along the line of what he said in Ephesians. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in the hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Faith or feeling? May the Lord help us, and may we be reminded that our feelings will mislead us. Our feelings, if we follow those and we react with those and we pursue those, will lead us to nothing that's right. But what our Lord has said, and faith in Him, and faith in what He said, to the point of taking what He has said and put it to work in our lives, that's the place of blessing. That's the place of help. That's the place of obedience. That's the way of escape when tempted and tried. Aren't we promised a way to escape when we're tempted and tried? That way of escape, it used to be a mystery to me what the way of escape was. You know what the way of escape when being tempted and tried is? The way of escape is obedience to our Lord, obedience to His Word. That's the way of escape. When we're squeezed, when we're tried, when the emotions do well up within us, they need to be made to be subservient to our faith in the Lord and what He says. What God says is what needs to come up first, rather than what this old man would say to do. That we might be the children of our Lord, that we may walk like Christ, that we might live for Him, that the world might see in us there's something different because of the Lord. To operate and live and react in a way that is indeed out of this world. May our Lord help us. Feeling or faith?